I know. I'm looking fresh, right? If you're listening or watching on Spotify, you can see your boy got a little bit of a haircut, got a new hairdo. Hello, everyone. My name is Joey Kinney, and welcome to the Happy Times. We talk a lot about deep things, but sometimes I just like to show off my haircut, okay? This episode's going to be a little bit different, but I want to welcome you back. I hope you are doing well. There is a question down below if you're watching on Spotify, and it's asking you how you enjoyed the episode. I like to read them all, especially the recent ones. They're just really nice to see and to see that somebody is actually out there, that you as a listener aren't just a listener, you're a person. And that's just really amazing for me to see. And so I just want to say thank you very much. But today's podcast is going to be a little bit different. There's a lot of you who are new here and a lot of you that don't really know me or my view on things. And I thought it would be a good episode to do a little Q&A. Now, this isn't going to be your average Q&A of like, oh my God, what's your favorite color? It's not going to be like that. Not saying that Q&A are average you like that, but we're going to dive deep into like some questions that maybe you feel like people don't really talk about, or things that I'm going through in my life and maybe you can relate or is a little uncomfortable, but it's comforting to hear somebody talk about it. That's what this podcast is. It honestly should be called the Uncomfortable Comfortable, but that's too confusing. So here we are with the Happy Times. So on my phone, I took a bunch of screenshots. I asked on Instagram, my Instagram's at Joey Kinney, and I asked on Instagram to ask me some questions for the podcast. And I took a bunch of screenshots. This is all going to be anonymous, so I'm not going to share who sent this because some are personal, some are personal about me, but they didn't want their name attached to the question, and that's totally okay. That's fine. That's reasonable. But without further ado, let's get to our first frigging question. Okay, since I can't remember them, I'm going to read them off my phone. Oof. We're starting off with a really, really tough one. This says, I lost my dog this week. How do people get another dog? My heart is broken. It's kind of interesting because this morning I drank out of a coffee cup that a fan made me of my first dog. It was a picture of him on the coffee cup, and his name was Eddie. And for those that don't know, I haven't cried in like 10 years. But a year and a half ago, my family dog Eddie passed away. And that crushed me. I always said that, the next time I'm going to cry, it's not because I don't believe in crying or anything like that. It's just nothing was as painful and made me need to cry. But I definitely will cry when I lose my dog. And we lost Eddie a year and a half ago. And I just bawled my eyes out. Losing an animal is so different because it's such a personal experience. When we lose people, we're obviously, it's a friendship. It's a two-way street. But when we lose an animal, it's really a one-way street. It's how we feel about them because we know that they love us, because they love us unconditionally. And so when we lose them, we just break down, and that's okay. Granted, you should. You should. You need to. It's very important. And in terms of getting another dog, I don't really like the getting another dog. It's not another dog. It's getting a dog. It's not before. It's not after. Obviously it is, but that's not the way that you should be thinking about it. It's two different moments, two different dogs. Getting another dog is always going to be hard. But there's always this saying that like when you lose a dog, they go up to heaven and they send down another one for you. And I think that's really special, whether you believe in that or not. I think dogs come into our lives for certain reasons, and certain dogs come into our lives for certain reasons, and they help us through tough moments and tough times. And I like to think for me, Eddie did what he needed to do. And I purchased my dog Frankie about 3 years before Eddie passed. And it's just, I just can't help but think that like Eddie kind of showed him the ropes and allowed him being like, all right, you're good. I'll allow you to stay. I think that was really special for me. But yeah, that's a tough question. Going on to the next one. Why is dating nowadays more about lust and money rather than getting to know each other? I do this a lot when I'm thinking about just like problems that we have in the world today. And I group it together to be like, okay, this is everyone. But the reality is not everyone is about lust and money. You're just attracting the wrong people for you, not the wrong people in general, just the wrong people. If you don't like lust and money, then I think you need to be looking maybe in a different space. Because it's not all about lust and money. I mean, relationships, that's how they start out. They start out being lust. And they turn into love, hopefully. But I've never been in a relationship where it was about lust and money ever in my entire life, actually. I mean, if anything, I make it more about money because I have so many anxieties behind money and financial and everything like that, because I grew up being a saving boy, and to spend money on anything, I just like stressed like crazy. But we can't group together the entire world. Why is dating nowadays more about lust and money rather than getting to know each other? It's not. The people you're dating are the wrong people, if that's what they're focused on. I have to sneeze. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Allergy season, I thought it was over. It's come back to attack us all. No one's safe. But seriously, the hard truth is if you're dating people that only worry about lust and money, then you're dating the wrong people. And if that's something that upsets you and you continue to focus on it, you will attract those people. That was harsh. Moving on to the next question. How far should I'm sorry get you in a non-toxic relationship? So I think we can remove the non-toxic part of a relationship. I'm not here to say what's toxic and what's not toxic. We are in this world nowadays where everything's on social media and everyone has an opinion on everyone's friggin' relationships and personal lives. And that's not what I'm here to do. Right? This is a podcast about a lot of deep things, but I'm not here to judge your relationship, not here to judge you. Obviously, I just judged the person dating. But there is no judgment in saying what's toxic and what's not toxic. I'm not that type of podcast. But how far should I'm sorry get you in a relationship? I'm sorry should only be paired along with actions. If there's no action beside I'm sorry, if there's no action behind those two words, they mean a lot less. They don't mean as much as you think. They don't mean anything when they're repeated over and over and over again, when the actions don't change. The action needs to follow the two words. And if it doesn't, then you're asking, how far should I'm sorry get you? It's taking you a step backwards. Because the more you say those two words and the more you provide them with no action and emptiness, the more empty it's going to make somebody feel. It's just going to feel like that's what you say when you do something wrong and then I'm supposed to forget about it. Now, there's something to be said for little things like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get the door for you. Or like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to take the meat out of the freezer for tonight to thaw out. There's things like that. Like That's fair. That's when I think I'm sorry should actually be used. And for the little things, that's like, you genuinely forgot. It's a genuine, I'm sorry this happened, or I'm sorry I did this. It's not, hey, I'm sorry that I cheated. That's too big. It's too big for two words. I'm sorry needs to be followed by actions. Okay, the next question is a little bit different. It is regarding me and my health. I'm not going to talk about it too much because I did share a video on TikTok. I got a bump on my head. So when I was 16, I got a lot of concussions. Those concussions led to me just discussing more about like mental health and getting MRIs and everything like that and getting brain scans and all of the above. And fast forward to now, I found a bump on my head near my occipital bone. And I went to the doctor a few times. They said it was something else. I went back to the doctor. They said it was something else. I went back to the doctor and I finally got an MRI booked. I feel super dizzy and off balance, and the bump is kind of like sore to touch, but then sometimes it's not. I like to think that it's just maybe like a strained muscle, or I pulled a muscle in the back of my neck. I don't really know. I'm worried, but I'm not. I'm worried because, well, when I was 16 and like something was happening to me, I was kind of like thankful because like I felt seen. Now I'm 28 and I want to have kids. I want to have a life with my partner and I don't want anything to get in the way of that. And if this does, I'm going to be really sad, but I'm scared, but I'm not. I think I just have this like valid worry of something could happen, but I'm kind of stuck in this unknown. And like, that's normally not so scary to me, but I think now my life impacts more than just myself. And that's kind of what I'm worried about. I've played sports my entire life. Balance is never an issue with me. I'm like my pro balance, and now I have a little different balance, and that's a little odd. When it gets in the way of me like not going to play hockey or not going to play a sport with my friends, that's when I worry. And I've had to cancel a few times because I feel like I can't even stand up still. I don't think that has anything to do with the bump though. I do think that that's maybe separate, like dehydration or something. Even though I drink a lot of water, but sometimes maybe I miss it. And maybe it has to do with stress or something like that, but the bump, yeah, I don't know. So I'll keep you guys updated, when I get results after I process them with my family. But thank you for asking. That means a lot. And now a word from our sponsor. Do you ever get those weird robocalls or like random junk emails and wonder, how do they even get my info? You see, that used to happen to me all the time until I found out it's because data brokers were selling my personal details. People were selling my personal information online, profiting off me. But then I discovered Incogni, which is the sponsor of today's podcast. Let me tell you, it's been a game changer. Incogni steps in and removes your information from those shady databases. I signed up and now they handle everything. So there's no more spammy calls. There's no more junk emails. So if that sounds good to you and you want to protect your privacy like I did, head to incogni.com/happytimes and use the code happytimes at the link below to get 60% off your annual plan today. Trust me, it's worth it. And now back to the podcast. The next question is, this is going to be hard. I'm sorry you have to hear this. Pineapple on pizza.
The hard-hitting questions.
Okay. I have a twofold. When I was younger, absolutely not. It was disgusting to me. No. My pizza that I liked was a combo pizza. I liked my pepperoni. I liked my peppers. I liked my mushrooms. I liked my olives. I'm happy with that. Maybe even banana peppers, add some heat. I like a vegetarian with a meat combo pizza. Like I like that. I also like a margarita, Neapolitan pizza, simple, fire it oven. Once you add too much, I'm out. Pineapple on pizza. As I've gotten older,
I understand the sweetness. I hate the ham. If it's pineapple pepperoni, I think that's cool because you have your salty and your sweet. The ham is just tastes like fat. It's not good to me. And then the other aspect of it is it needs to be fresh pineapple. Ordering pineapple on pizza from Domino's, you're going to miss every single time that pineapple has been sitting there just fermenting in bacteria and air particles. That's just disgusting. It's going to come dry. It's going to come flavorless and hard. No, fresh pineapple on pizza with pepperoni, I'm all for now. That's my hot take. Okay, next question. How did you start sharing poetry? I feel like I don't have the courage to share my thoughts. Interesting. So I started going a little further back. I started YouTube when I was 16 years old, and I always wanted to give advice, and I liked it when it sounded more poetic. So I was always kind of like writing my YouTube videos as poetry, but I wouldn't say that I was necessarily writing poetry. It just like that wasn't my goal. I always liked longer form things that didn't necessarily rhyme, but just sounded and hit really well. That's kind of like my style. I don't really know what you call that. Maybe more prose instead of like poetry format. I like to call them installations, but no, I don't. No, not installations. Installments. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I like to call them those because I like short form. I like long form, everything like that. But how did I start sharing it? Well, I started in the YouTube videos. People really liked it. Then I started sharing on TikTok. And what I did is I did write a book, and when I was sharing my book on TikTok, and I was just reading my book. And I think just when I was 16, I was putting feelings out there and it was well received. And that's what like made me have the courage that I have today to be able to post and talk about anything online and to have an audience. And I think it honestly just takes you to post. There's, I don't know, maybe 3 seconds of courage there. It's, you don't need the courage to film it. You just do it. That's not the best advice, but Nike. The courage comes when you hit share. And you just need 3 seconds of courage. You just need to hit it. And then I really recommend putting your phone away. If you're posting this for the first time, you're probably going to get 3 likes. And that's okay. You're not going for likes. You're going for feedback. Positive feedback. That's what you're aiming for. Because if something comes negative, it's kind of like a stand-up comedian that goes to do their first show. If their first show bombs, they're quitting immediately. But if their first show does well, and then their second show bombs, they're like, wait a second, but the first one did well. So just be yourself. Be passionate about what you talk about. Say it how you feel. Don't try to copy how I say it. Don't try to copy how Whitney Hansen says it or Isabella Dora. Like, just do you. And if you have a good group of friends, you're going to get at least one like. And then you do another one. That's all it takes. When will you marry? Whoa. Okay. Good question. Marriage. Okay, let's jump into it. I don't really care. I just like don't mind not being married. That's not to say that I won't ever get married. I purchased a home last year. I've talked about it a lot. I'm not going to talk about it too much more. Seeing where my money could go and what it could get me with a house, I couldn't imagine spending a fraction of that on one night. On a party for other people to complain about the food. So if I was to ever get married, it would be small. I would love to spend friggin' no money. All I love to do is just hang out with my friends and have a normal day. That's what I would love. And to do it with my partner, and almost like a pop-up wedding. Like, you know, when people get engaged and they're like, now you're at our wedding. Like, that's freaking sick to me because it's like, no one, I don't want gifts from people. I just want people to be there and not have preconceived thoughts and notions about how the evening's going to go I just think there's too much stress. We're already under enough stress as it is, as people and self-employed workers. And you know, I don't want my parents to have any more stress to plan things. It's just, if I never get married, I won't be mad. My goal is to have kids. My goal is to have a family, because a family means so much more than a certificate or a party or a ring. The ring can definitely still happen, but yeah, I don't know. I won't be mad if I never get married, and I won't be mad if I do, but it's just not the top of my list. And my partner knows that, by the way. Like, I'm not just saying that for the first time. And I say my partner because sometimes it's weird to say, like, oh, my girlfriend. I feel like I'm a 16-year-old. So yeah, it would be cooler to say my wife. I guess that's like one of the pros of getting married. Not so much a question, but thank you so much for giving us such uplifting content. Big love. That means a lot to me. If you haven't noticed lately, I've started like a shift in the way that I film content and what I'm talking about. I used to make a lot of like breakup poems, and granted, I still do, and breakup videos and everything like that. But I do think about my future. And if I was to have a kid or anything like that, you know, I want to be proud of the content that I make. And it's not that I'm not proud of this sadder content, but I'm a happy guy and this is truly who I am. And I want to push more of that out there into the world. And I want to be proud to show my friends a video. And a lot of the videos that I used to make, I'm not very proud of anymore. And it was time for me to grow. And this means so much to me to read this comment. And it means so much to me when everyone shares these videos and the newer style videos. Like, granted, views do matter, followers do matter. In my case, like, it means food on the table or not. And when people do share the new videos, it means the world to me, because I'm super passionate about them. And again, not that I'm not passionate about my older videos, but I've started making, you know, TikTok videos when I was 4 years ago, when I was 23, 24. And I've changed, as we all do. And I've grown, and I like to think I've grown in a positive way. This is an interesting question, and it's normally not something that I would talk about on this podcast, but that's why I think I should. Do all guys question their sexuality and experiment at one point in their life? I'm never going to group all men in like one category. I'm only ever going to talk about my personal experiences. So, did I ever question my sexuality? Let's start there. Of course. Of course. I was a sports kid. I was, you know, you're in the change room. You're seeing guys rip off their shirts and you're comparing yourself to them. You're like, why don't I have abs? Why? We're both 16. Why are you 200 pounds and stacked in muscle and I'm skin and bones? You know, there's so many things. You know, I'm watching Zac Efron. I'm like, holy smokes, this guy's friggin' ripped. The new Jeremy Allen White, buddy's friggin' yoked. And I'm like, this guy looks so good. Does that mean I'm gay? Who cares? I understand that if you're questioning yourself, you might, but it's also okay to just like things. I'm personally not sexually attracted to men, but I do find men attractive, and that's completely okay. So do all men experiment at one point in their life? I wouldn't know. But have I experimented? I haven't. And that's okay. That's okay to say. Doesn't mean I'm against anything. I'm all for any sexual orientation, anything that you want to do that's safe and everyone's happy and pleased and comfortable. That's amazing. And if you have to do it to find out who you are, you have to do it to find out who you are. But just please don't be ashamed that I have a different story than you. Your story is so unique. Your life is so unique, and you like things new, uniquely, in a way that is different than me, because you are uniquely you. That sounds like a Uniqlo ad. But seriously, if you are questioning your sexuality, explore it. There's no rule book. Granted, there used to be, but there's not nowadays. There's no rule book, depending on where you live. There's no rule book as to what you like and what you can like and how you should feel about certain things. Like, explore that. Don't let that sit there and disappear. Explore who you are. And that's what I have to say for that. Next question. Is there one thing that you look forward to in your life every single day, like a 7-minute yoga meditation? One of the things that I look forward to every single day is waking up, and I like to just go outside and sit on my deck that I built with my dad, with my dog. And lately I've been liking reading a book and just having a coffee. As simple as that is, that's really it. I love just doing normal things. It's my favorite thing. I love going on a run. Maybe that's not something I do every day. And maybe reading a book isn't something I do every day. But what I've made clear in my life is that it doesn't have to be every day for me to enjoy it. The next one, for a guy turning 21 soon and turned into the man I didn't want to be, any way I can change? I think if you're posing the question, you're at a good place in your life. You're already changing. There's no thing that I can say that's going to be like, oh, yep, that's how I have to change. That's how I'm going to do it. Because you're you, your life is different than mine, and we will never be the same, and that's okay. But we have similar situations, and the way that I've always learned in my life is not always the best. It's by making mistakes and realizing I didn't like how I feel, I didn't like how I made others feel, and this is how I have to change. And there's no way to prepare you for that other than to make those mistakes. So it's not the greatest advice, but go mess up. You'll figure it out. And that's the last question, which is perfect because I actually have a therapy session, which is kind of funny because I'm reading this book that's called Bad Therapy, and it's about how therapy can sometimes be, I don't want to say negative, but not moving you forward in life, which is really interesting. I haven't read the whole book. I'm only like 50 pages in, but it's really posing a lot of questions. As somebody that's always like, oh yeah, go to therapy. We never really talk about like, maybe you shouldn't go. So I'm reading into it, and maybe we can do a little book review on here if that's something that you want to do. If it is, DM me, I guess, because there's no real way to let me know, but I think that'd be cool. And I would love to know if you enjoyed this Q&A, this multiple different topics scenario. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was interesting because it was more me being me instead of just like thinking that I need to say the right thing to keep people engaged and listening, and I have to write things down or points down or anything like that. I just loved hearing from you guys as well because you're real people, and this kind of proves that. So thank you very much. And I will talk to you guys next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.